Welcome back. It is today. I'm Keno Cummings with you all the way through until midday. And I'm so happy to announce a feature that we used to host on The Breakfast Show, looking at, you know, those flags you and I need to be cognizant of when we're planning our future. Well, that feature with Chantelle Ilbury is on today on this particular show. And so wonderful chatting to Chantelle Ilbury of Mind of a Fox, keeping an eye out on all those flags and trends. And she finds herself in Canada. So, Chantelle, wonderful having you on the show. What are you doing in Canada?
Thanks so much, Keno. Lovely to continue chatting with you. A little bit of business and also family business in Vancouver, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous city.
Oh, brilliant. You didn't buy a radio station there by any chance that Bruce and I can come and work at?
I didn't, but it rains a lot, nearly every day. So perhaps you'd rather want to stay in Cape Town going into the summer.
Yeah, we were just kidding. Absolutely would love to stay here. Now, you're in Canada on business. You've noticed some signs that would really shock South Africans. Give us an insight into that.
Yes. You know, everywhere I've been, I look at the shop front, look at businesses, and it says, we are hiring. We are desperate to hire. And then I've read, because they're going into elections in October, that one of the biggest things is they are very open to immigration. They've got a skills shortage in Canada, and they are wanting people to immigrate to Canada. And it just struck me, here in South Africa, we are anti-immigrants because immigrants are taking our jobs. So it kind of is a juxtaposition, you know, a bit of a paradox between a country open to immigrants and a country actually closed to immigrants.
You know, I'm looking at that, and I think one of my insights was that it's almost a government problem. And the reason why I say that is because we've not readied our people on the ground to take advantage of opportunities. We've not created an environment where they can, you know, make their own opportunities or develop their own businesses. And now they're going up against, you know, African nationals, most mainly, who've, you know, got the savvy, launching their businesses, yes, and making a living. So it is a failure of state when it comes to not preparing us, which is why we find ourselves in that situation.
I agree with you totally. Failure of state. And the other thing that struck me is it's the mindset of the state. The mindset of the state or Canada is, say, we are open. We want you in, yeah, at all levels. Our mindset is, no, we're not providing any opportunity, exactly as you say. So, yeah. Fascinating.
Well, maybe we should run for office, Chantelle, but we can talk about it after the interview. Now, as a scenario strategist, right, you focus on what is unpredictable, one has to. So you never take, yes, your eye off the Trump ball. I'd love to see your insights and hear your insights on his handling of those attacks in Saudi Arabia.
You know, it's just so interesting. And Clem Santa and I have done a scenario quite recently, which we called a bloodbath, and it was about if something blows up in the Middle East. And it really does come back to the US and Iran. So with these attacks now happening in Saudi Arabia, the question is actually almost like a game of Cluedo, saying who did it. And I think at the moment, Donald Trump has got his Defense Intelligence Agency actually releasing, they said in the next 48 hours, they're going to release a report to say actually who launched those missiles and those drones. And their view is it is from southern Iran. And I love Trump's comment, you know, the US is locked and loaded and we're just going to wait for Saudi Arabia's command as to what we're going to do. So I think because he is such an unpredictable chap, we've got a couple of scenarios that are going to be playing out.
Give us an insight to one or two of those.
Okay, so the first scenario is he could go for nuclear war and nuclear weapons, use nuclear weapons, yeah, he would be very silly. So it's a wild card. because Russia, remember, is an ally or alongside Iran. So we would, you know, go back to a US-Russia story. So the second scenario is he could look at conventional military action on a much bigger scale than what he's done. And I think the issue there in that scenario is he's also coming up for election, and he's pledged in his campaign that he's actually going to be pulling US forces out of the Middle East and Syria, etc. So if he then went in with conventional military action, he's under a bit of pressure from his campaign. And then the third one, of course, he could renew the treaty talks between the US and Iran, because, of course, he pulled out of the nuclear deal. For Trump, that might not be the best option, because it might be perceived that he's a weak leader and not ready to go in with might. So, you know, I think we're not sure where it is. And actually, Clem and I have taken our bloodbath scenario in the Middle East up from 30% probability to a 40% probability, which is pretty high. Because the problem is there'll be... No, carry on.
No, I said it certainly is. Even if Putin then decides, well, we're going to take some of our military and we're going to station them in Iran.
Yes.
Then the United States will think three or four times before they do it, because they know what happened in Syria.
Yep. And the Iran military is strong. It's very different to Iraq and what happened, you know, when they went into Iraq.
Yeah.
So I think they'll have a very different story. They'll have Russia on Iran's side. Of course, the US, Saudi Arabia, and probably Israel would side together. So probably it'll be bigger than just military action in Iran. It'll be in the whole of the Middle East, which, again, you know, if we bring it back down to business terms, it looks at the oil price. What is that oil price going to do globally? And I think over $100 a barrel is a very close possibility.
And then, of course, we look at inflationary pressures that'll put on South Africa, where we're already north of 4%, between 4% and 5%, and not seeing any growth to, you know, cancel that out. So we're in a real negative as you and I speak.
Yes, absolutely. So for South Africa, you know, an increase in the oil price, exactly as you say, in an economy that we're trying to grow and focus on, I think would be incredibly detrimental for South African growth going forward in the short term. You know, it's all about the price we pay.
Yeah, exactly. And we also, and, you know, if one looks at those attacks in Saudi Arabia, and I mean, the other real danger there, if that is the new weapon, pardon the pun, to fight these wars, because it's got to do with Yemen and, of course, the issues with Yemen, which is stateless almost. Some would argue that it is. I mean, there's no real government there, but it's that's obviously spilling over to Saudi Arabia. And if that becomes the new normal, we could potentially face a global recession.
We could, absolutely. And, you know, interestingly, Clem and I were saying the red flag that nobody or they didn't spot was everybody has made the assumption that the enemy only has primitive arms at its disposal. So therefore, it ignored this critical threat, and drones and missiles, were not what was expected. So I think we could be moving into, as you say, very dangerous territory globally.
Now, something which is not on the radar for discussion today, but I just wanted to know if you guys are looking at it, you know, what's been happening in Israel. So Netanyahu doesn't look like he's going to be able to put a government together, which is, I mean, personally, you know, I'd love to see the back of him and get someone a little bit more centrist and a little bit more liberal, possibly, to take over in Israel. But that's me. What is your reading of that?
What I am seeing is interesting that not many states or governments can get a government together. It seems to be coalitions that are playing out in many places because nobody is actually strong enough, or the population are not, citizens are not ready to put a stake in the ground with anybody in particular. So, that's an interesting concept. Exactly the same in terms of Canada. Justin Trudeau actually might not get in. He might need a coalition government going forward as well. So,
oh, wow. Oh, wow. And then, of
interesting
course,
time.
Then, of course, there's good old Britain who can't get anything right. Oh, my word. Oh,
yes, who are we going to have there, you know? Boris in, Boris out, Brexit.
Oh, my word. I'm just waiting for the property to go way down, the prices, and maybe a good time to invest in the UK. Might even become affordable for South Africans. Just kidding. But Chantal, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure as usual, Kino. Thanks very much.
Chantal Ilbury there with Mind of a Fox. And yeah, we take your thoughts on that. And on the Israel issue, I don't know if you agree or disagree with me, but I would love to see Netanyahu's back. He is much more of a pain, you know, when it comes to some semblance of getting things right there, than someone who'd be a little bit more centrist and maybe even a little bit more liberal. But I'll take your thoughts and calls on 021-446-0567 and WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. This is Today. I'm Keno with you till midnight.